Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 3.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. All those who called in at 646-668-2636. We thank you. We see you there on the switchboard. You just press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation, share your insights and your wisdom on our topic today. All those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we also like to welcome you. Thank you for joining us tonight, taking time out of your schedule. Amen. Amen. We're going to open with prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation tonight. We're going to continue talking about, this is going to be part two of Examine Yourself and the distinguishing marks of a Christian man. And again, we just want to come with a word of encouragement today. We know it's been a long week, and you've been through a lot of testing and trials in the lives of men. But today we just want to come together and give a word of encouragement, give a word of edification, that we might be men of God, that we may be able to stand in the midst of all that's going on, knowing that God is in control, and knowing that we are called to lead in our homes, in our families, and in the community, that we are to be salt and light, and be an example to this culture and to generations behind us, coming up behind us. Amen? And we are our brother's keeper. Let us pray. Father God, I just say thank you right now, Father. Father, I come to you with a heart of gratitude, God. I thank you for what you've done, oh God, in me and through me, God. I thank you, God, for my brothers, oh God, who are listening on this line tonight, today. Thank you for every man, oh God, every soul, oh God. I thank you for every family, God. I ask you to continue blessings over their lives, God. Continue to cover them, God. I pray for a hedge of protection around our children, oh God, as they continue to press in, oh God, into the things, oh God, around them that tempt them, that try them, and God, that the enemy is trying to destroy our children and the generation, oh God. Father, we ask that, God, again, God, that you keep your hand on our lives, keep your hand in us, oh God, and through us, oh God. Continue, God, to guide us through your power, your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for strength today to continue on. We thank you, God, for waking us up this morning, oh God, and giving us another opportunity to serve you, God. Father, we thank you, God, for the grace and the power, oh God, that you've given in each man's life today, oh God. Father, we just want to say thank you with grateful hearts, Lord. Father, we ask you to continue, oh God, to guide you and direct your church, God. We pray for the spirit of discernment and wisdom, oh God, amongst the leaders, oh God, the pastors, elders, deacons, God, and all those who serve behind the scenes, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, in this season, oh God, of giving, and the church, that your church, oh God, as a body, oh God, is serving people and delivering, oh God, food for the nourishment of their bodies today, God. We bless all those who are laboring in those efforts, oh God, to give away food in this holiday season, God. And, Father, we say most of all, God, we just say thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you for the confidence and assurance of our salvation and knowing that you, O God, is watching over us, O God. Father, we know you're in control of all things. Nothing that happens is a surprise to you. So, Father, we just say thank you. Continue to bless us. Continue to use us, God, for the glorifying of your kingdom and the advancement and for the glorifying of you and the advancement of your kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, today I'm going to continue a conversation that started last week, and this is going to be part two of Examine Yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, that we are called to examine ourselves. Are you a Christian? Every man has to answer that question for himself. Assurance of our salvation and assurance of who we are in Christ. Many brothers make claim and struggle with, you know, so many people claim a date. I talked about this before in a previous conversation. You know, we claim the date we gave our life to Christ, and we claim it all in the past, and I've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. I've been saved all my life. I've been in the church. But that's not what God says. And what God is saying in 2 Corinthians, he's saying that we are to continue. We are to continue in this walk. Because, again, in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, that's going to be our foundation, where every man has to look in the mirror and determine who he is in Christ. And that we examine ourselves, so who we are now in Christ. Every day, are we walking in him? Have we walked? How, what did we do yesterday? Where have we fallen short? We have to look in the mirror, examine our hearts, look to the Word of God, pray, and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what he's doing in our lives to grow us and to sanctify us. Because the Bible never verifies any salvation by that past event or any past event, but it's a continuing walk in obedience to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The evidence of our salvation in your life right now. If there's no evidence of your walk today, were you really ever truly saved? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. It's not me holding you or condemning any man, but every man has to look at himself, look at his life. Where is he? Is he truly saved, and is he living it out in obedience to God? Amen? Because sometimes we get into self-righteousness, we get into outward appearances, and we get lost, you know, and we get lost and we get off course because we think we have it all together, and we fool only ourselves. We don't fool God. We fool ourselves. Amen? So we ought to strive for holiness and abstain from wickedness and living in obedience to God's word. And that's the thing I just want to encourage every brother out here, while we talk about it all the time, about studying the word, applying the word, and praying and being submissive to the Holy Spirit. These are the keys and these are the steps for spiritual maturity. If these things are not in your life, these things are not who you are, part of your DNA, part of your regular behavior, this is why we struggle. This is why we're called to be the man of God. Let's go real quick. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As always, I encourage brothers, you know, come and tune in to take notes or have a pen or paper. Or always, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all our past shows and just take time and meditate on some of the things that we talked about today. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll go to verse number 14. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with, let me see. Well, I'm going to start with 12. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 12 to 14. Amen. 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 Here we go. So take a new grip with your tried hand and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Amen. Verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work on living a holy life for those who are not holy. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Amen? So we ought to be a living example. We'd be a living example in our, for our families, for our wives, for our children, for our brothers in the church, for those around us, that we're living a life in obedience. And what's that going to look like? And we as men of God, we're called to be transformed into a new person, not who we used to be. You know, sometimes we hear about people tell us how we used to be and when they used to know us. That's fine. But if we are really and truly saved, we'll be transformed in our outward appearance and our outward activities and who we are. You know, the Bible teaches us that those who are generally saved are righteous and holy. So you and I may still sin, but the frequency of our bad choices and our bad thoughts starts to decrease as we grow in Christ. And that's the thing I want to encourage every brother with. You know, we struggle with a lot of things. We've been through a lot of things. We want to start to live again obedient to God. But then there's going to be times when we're going to slip. We're going to make mistakes. You know, I always tell brothers, you know, if we read the letters that Paul wrote those letters to churches who were drifting off course, who were getting out of the will of God, that were living disobedient lives by the choices they made. And we struggle with the same things. But as men of God, those choices, the frequency, the time that we make bad choices, they start to decrease as we grow in faith, as we grow in the knowledge of God, and as we grow in obedience. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is just touch on the obedience in our lives. How obedient are you to the Word? How that you know that the Word that you're taught. Because, again, God is only going to hold us accountable to the Word that has been given to us in our lives, that's been preached, teached, that we've been discipled, we've been mentored in the things of God, to understand the Word of God and to apply the Word of God. And this is what God is going to hold us accountable. So it doesn't really matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter when you got saved, your church. It depends on the teaching that you receive, the fellowship, the development, the growth in Christ. God is going to hold you to that and how you live that thing out in obedience to Him every day. Because as men of God, we start to, as we let the Word and the Holy Spirit guide and direct us, we start to think different in who we are. We our lives change. And once we start thinking different, it's different from how we used to think and how we see the culture, how we think about the culture differently, about the social norms, the things that are going on that's acceptable in the culture, in our communities, that is ungodly. We start to see those things. We look at the world with different eyes, through the eyes of and through the lenses of the Bible, of Scripture, what Scripture teaches us, because we have a renewed mind. Also, our thought life, your thought life, my thought life, will start to change. We'll start to think on things, the things of God, the things of righteousness, the things of obedience, and all the other things that we used to be in our minds, because it starts in our minds. And the things that we struggle with, addictions, if we struggle with evil thoughts, character flaws, the things that are in our mind that we struggle with, if we have a renewed mind and understand who we are in Christ and why Christ died for us, and He died to deliver us from those things, then we start to be different. We have a renewed heart. Our heart is different. We see others differently. We see our enemies differently. We start to act differently in accordance with the Word of God. Now, I was in a conversation recently in a men's group, and we were talking about sin and how the things that the church, and we talk about what is sin and don't do this and don't do that, but that's not necessarily a mark of our salvation. Sometimes the things that we do are the fruit of who our heart is and where our heart is. You know what I mean? So once our heart is changed, our outward activities, our outward character will start to change. But we have to get to a place where we believe the Word of God, we apply the Word of God, and we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are acting different. We're thinking different. We see the world differently with a renewed mind in the things of Christ. That the things that are disobedient to the Word, and that we know that sin is disobedience to God's perfect will and His direction for our life. And again, I always say the Bible is our mark, is our yardstick, is our chalk line, is the blueprint for our lives. So that anything that we're going through, anything we'll be tested and tried with, the answer is in His Word. and every man will be accountable for the word and the knowledge and the things that you know. And you know, the teachings that you sit under. You sit under your pastor's teaching. You're hearing sermons. You're in Bible studies. You're in the word. These are the things God's going to hold you accountable for. It's not going to be man. It's going to be God, and God's going to hold you accountable. What did you do with his son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with the word that you knew? How obedient were you to that and through the power of the Holy Spirit? Because, again, it's not about the outward appearance that we try to do. It's about our inward change, a change of heart, and then the outside will start to change. Amen? Are we keeping promises? Are we promise keepers to the things of God? Are we pure in our speech and in our thought life? I talked about that. Are we living out in forgiveness for things that people have done to us, that we see the wrong and injustices? And are we praying about forgiveness? Are we living out for our lives? Or do we seek retaliation? Do we seek revenge? Are we truly, truly, as men of God, loving our neighbors and loving our enemies? Now, that can take many forms and many fashions, but it's a heart issue again. How do we see our neighbors? How do we see our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? And as it goes for our neighbors, how do we see the unbeliever? How do we see the lost world for the things that they do? Remember, we cannot hold the unbelieving, unsaved world to the standards that we are called to live by, because they are not saved. They don't know Christ. And that's what we also call when it comes to evangelism. We're called to let people know about the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they too might be saved and save their eternal souls. But again, how do we love our neighbors? How do we, with the things that we say out of our mouth when unbelievers do things, when things go on in this culture? You got to remember, there's a reason why certain people do certain things, because who's their father? Who do they work for? Whose side are they on? It's as simple as that, you know. And it's more than just a confession of faith. It's how we live it out. And each of us, how do we love our enemies and how do we love our neighbors? Every man is held to that standard as Scripture speaks to. Amen. Amen. So today, again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings. We have shifted to 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. You can always call in. Amen. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation and share your insights, your wisdom, and be part of the program. Amen. 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 As I go, oh, amen, I have a brother who wants to share something or share with wisdom or ask a question. I'm going to bring him into the call, bring him in right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your last amen. Four numbers are 9830. Praise God. Who's calling?
Good morning, Elder. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling representing Resurrection Hope Ministries out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and I was calling in part of the program.
Amen. How are you, sir?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. First off, let me give you kudos on your success. Getting up and putting these shows together is hard, man. You got over 3,800 listens, and you did almost over 500 episodes. So I'm just really proud of you being in the field. And what I want to impart is today's topic with a man and treating people and our neighbors correctly. It's hard for us to be man of God when we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes we might have faith, but we can't put God in a box. And in a blink of an eye, one phone call could change your life. And we forget who we serve. And I know we've had this virus, and it's over 30 to 50 million people lost their jobs, they lost their lives, they lost their livelihood. So we've been living in a spirit of fear. So it's harder for us to treat our neighbors properly, because a lot of our neighbors are getting their houses foreclosed, and it's not fun. And some of the people who was homeless, they finally got an opportunity to get a home, but they're not going to be able to keep it because they just got a one hit of that stimulus. So God is in control of everything, but as men, we have to have these healthy conversations and put it out there. Iron sharpens iron, and in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. So I really commend you on what you're doing, brother. It's major.
Amen. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your encouragement. And it's not me, it's God. And, you know, God put on my heart just to speak a word to encourage the brothers out there. And I agree with you. There's a lot of suffering going on, a lot of hardship, but yet God is in control, and there's also the answers. I mean, I see churches everywhere in the country that are stepping up. You know, we don't hear that in the broader general, the broader media, but I know there's churches that are stepping up, and we serving people and doing those things to keep everybody rooted and grounded. So we just want to encourage the brothers, stay with God, stay with the Word, and just continue to press, because this too shall pass. You know, this thing, again, as I say, if God is in control, this is nothing new, but we are still called to be the church, and we are still called to show the love of God, even in the midst of what's going on. You know, because I always refer to Paul and Peter. They wrote the epistles. The circumstances weren't good for the church then, and it wasn't good in the culture then, but yet God still is. So I just want to continue to encourage brothers out there that sometimes we can't focus on our circumstances. We got to focus on God and then see what God will do and who he will send in our life.
Amen.
Continue to carry us through. Amen.
Amen. That's a powerful word. It's like God gave me a sermon, your faith is for you. And sometimes as a leader, you're going to be able to see the vision, but the people that's around you, all they see is the right now. Yesterday is a cancel check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is cash in hand. We all get the same 24 hours. No matter what goes on, we want to spend that time to have a relationship with God. Not everybody's going to have the same relationship. You know, some people have been married for 20 years. They don't sleep in the same bed. Some people have been married for 2 weeks, and they can't get enough for each other. But at the end of the day, God was in both situations. So I say that to say, when we look at our families, our wives, our lives, they all the reflection, because we're the man of what we do. So if we have a lot of issues going on, our household is going to be in turmoil. And at the same time, sometimes you have to walk away from the fight with your wife because it's going to be wrong for your kids to see. So as a man, we have to remember that God gave us the increase, and I really want to bring it to Adam. I mean, Abraham, when he left his father's house, he was in a wealthy situation, but he stepped out on faith. When he stepped out on faith, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going to end up, and by him being out there, when he had to go get a lot, and then Melchizedek came and collected the tithes, nobody seen that coming. So every day we were living in an undiscovered country, and we have to remember that God is in the midst of everything. So even when Job went through his situation, God never left him. Job never cursed God, but at the same time, we have to still stay focused and have that tunnel vision like the horses with the blinders when they're on the race. We can't get off the track. And this is a NASCAR race. We might make 300 laps to get around the track, but you want to end up in the winner's circle. But remember, if a NASCAR, the cars are moving at 200 miles an hour. So if you step out of your lane a little bit, it'll be a pile-up accident. Then you won't make the race. And not only will you not make the race, you'll block somebody else's blessing. So I want to encourage the brothers under the sound of my voice to support this brother. Tell a friend. We want to have 10,000 listens. You know, those numbers are important, and God teaches us we need to measure sometimes, and the Bible says count the cost. Some of our battles that we fight with our wives and our kids and our loved ones, we don't even have to go down that road because we're not even looking at the big pictures. It's not just the three primary colors. It's the whole 256 to the color spectrum. So I just really, really, really want to encourage you, Elder. You're doing it at a high level. It's hard. I've been doing radio for every bit of 23 years, and I've seen it go from the physical radio stations where they had the 8-tracks to digital to the internet to now the podcasting. So I just really, really, really appreciate you, bro. I definitely want you to call me at the show, man. I'd definitely like to speak to you offline.
All right, bro. I got your number here. I'll send you, I'll shoot you some information, and we can reach out. We can reach out and connect offline. No problem.
I want to say on the rest of the broadcast, I want to hear from some of the other brothers.
All right, no problem.
And sisters, we know we got women callers too. You can't forget about the ladies.
all right. Oh yeah, but we're issues Christian men talk. But we're gonna keep on pressing. But bro, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you listening, and we'll definitely get in touch offline and share some things. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Amen, amen. I appreciate that, brother. Amen. So, you know, and some of the things he was saying is right, and that's who we are as men. We're called to lead in our homes, in the church, and in the community. But we have to be able to deal with our issues, understand who we are, who are we, that man in the mirror, and examine ourselves so that we can be the example and lead. We can't lead in our homes if we are not following the word of God, if we're not obedient to the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus Christ as Lord. I think that's the most thing that we have to remember, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So in the salvation of saving us from eternity, eternal separation from God in hell, he also is our Lord, that we ought to be obedient to him. The word says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And are we keeping his commandments when we're talking about being obedient, having an obedient life and living a life of sincere worship? That's one of the other things I wanted to touch on today. Are we sincere in our worship? Are we genuine? You know, Jesus had a problem. He had to run into, he was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who were running the temple, who were running the church in his time. But their worship was superficial. It was all external. It was to be seen. So what is our worship like? What is your worship? My worship? What is our worship? Is it sincere? Are we sincere in our prayer? Are we sincere in what we and how we worship God, in our serving, in our giving of resources? Because God loves us, it should not be a problem for us to give of ourselves, of our resources. You know, and that's about our personal ministry. You know, I was told a long time ago, every man is called to a ministry. He's called to ministry within the corporate body of Christ, and he's called to his personal ministry. What are you doing for God that maybe only God knows? Because all ministries are not called to be, you know, worldwide and be noticed and be famous. You know, we got a lot of famous Christians. That's a whole other discussion. But do we have a lot of faithful Christians to the call on their life? Because some of the things that need to be done in ministering to people, the broken people, people going, it's not about publicity. It's about doing the work. It's about showing love in the one-on-one commitment to mentor and disciple. We talked about this in previous shows, but some of the things I talk about at some of our Man Up events and our gatherings is, who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you? Who mentored you? Who's discipling you? What are our relationships one to another? We can say I'm a brother's keeper, and we turn it into a cliche. We go iron sharpens iron is a cliche, but who is in our life? Who's in your circle of influence? Who is praying with you and for you? Who are you praying with and for? This is sincere worship. This is sincere obedience to God. And when we talk about giving of our resources, that's what I talk about, time, the local ministry, personal ministry. Are we sincere in our prayer life? Are we sincere and obedient to prayer, to fasting, to submitting ourselves to God, to get direction and guidance from him? And the study and the reading, it's been 2 years now. When we talk in men's groups, we talk more about reading the word, talk more about studying the word than reading the word. I recently was engaged with a brother recently this week and just talking about, you know, reading your Bible, not reading the Bible like it's a novel, to read it to finish it, to read it to say that you've done it, to read to say, oh, I read the whole Bible, I read through the Bible. But are we studying the word and applying that word? You know, because it's something you can read the same chapter. If I read 1 Peter every day for 7 days, I will receive a new revelation and understanding from that word every day. That's how the Bible works. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Because things in there you will hook on, connect to, and get an understanding as you study through the word. There's a lot of different ways to study, but this is what we encourage the brothers. Examine yourself. How much time are you spending in the word? How much time are you spending in devotion? How much time are you spending with your wife, with your family, in the word, in prayer? This is where we talk about sincere worship. How are we living out who we are in Christ as Christian men? Are we living out obedient to Jesus Christ and to his commandments and what he is guiding and directing us to? And do others, are we known as men of God, as men of godly character? Not that we're known as, let me say this, not that we're known as perfect men, that we do everything right, and we're, you know, Holy Ghost, holy rolling, Holy Ghost filled, we are perfect, we walk around. No. Is our character a godly character? Do we people know that we are who we are, we say who we are, we're where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, we're faithful, we're not who we used to be, we're not liars, cheaters, we're not envious, we're not, you know, we all those things that some of us may have struggled with before Christ, now is our character different? Now is our character different, and this is who we are. Amen? So today, I want to appreciate all the brothers who called in. Anybody there at 646-668-2636, I thank you. I see you there on the switchboard. For my brother who called me in Indianapolis, I'm going to give you a call. I'm going to send you a text. We're going to reach out. We can talk offline a little bit, and we can connect there because we got a lot of things coming up. Also, brothers, let me share this. We're getting ready to do some Man Up events. We're going virtual. We're setting up some things. We're going to do some Zoom gatherings. All the brothers here in the Baltimore, D.C. area, you know, last year we do a quarterly Man Up gathering. Well, right now we're setting up for 2021, at least for the first quarter during the winter months. Hopefully this pandemic God is going to deliver, but we're setting up to do a Zoom Man Up. We're going to gather together in fellowship and connect and encourage and teach and talk and just and pray and just encourage one another. Look out for that. You can always reach me, reach out to us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, at Issues Christian Men's Talk, also on Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And you can reach out there. You can inbox us, send us a message, connect with us, and all the information will be there. Also, if you have any men's events, as churches begin to open up and do more with the Zoom meeting and the video meetings, if you have any men's groups gathering coming up, men's prayer, any of those things, please reach out so we can post it. We never know when a man needs to connect with some other brothers. You know, on the same principle, we call to mentor, we're called to pray for one another, we're called to encourage one another. So if you have any men's prayer groups, any men's Bible studies that are going on, please send us the link. We'll post it on our Facebook page. We'll send it out on Twitter, that men can come together and hear a word of God and be in a place and in a company of men to be encouraged in this Christian walk. We are not called to be alone. This Christian walk is not to be, we're not to be lone rangers. We are to be part of a body. Well, we are part of a body if we're part of a true church, but we also are called to be intertwined with one another in true fellowship, in koinonia. That means our lives are interwoven together to encourage one another so that those who are weak can be encouraged by those who are strong and that we can keep each other on a straight path of obedience. Amen? Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Join us every Saturday at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. on Saturdays. Well, that's our new time. We shifted it to Saturdays at 10 a.m. Also, Mondays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Join us there. You can listen to this, the rebroadcast of this show and the archive of all of our past shows. And again, I thank you for that brother for his word of encouragement. Continue to obey God. Continue to live it out. Live out your life as God has called you to. Never give up. Amen. God bless you. Talk to you next week.
Let's go together into the inner place, into the holy of holy. Let's receive them.
Let your